coming down to the final lap in our series that I have entitled One Step at a Time. And ever since the beginning of the year, we have made a desire and a commitment to be better individuals this year than we were last year or ever have been. And we have recognized that we have to come to grips with a couple of things. Number one, that we are addicted to sin. And all, let me just ask all of those, my brothers and my sisters, who are like me and you are here because you are addicted to sin, just confess and put your hand up. All right. Those of you that did not put your hand up, either you are blinded or you are addicted to lying. But have mercy. That was too strong, Pastor. Too strong. But the Lord knows that we are here because there's a lot that He has to do with us. And it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. We are in a battle and we are in a struggle. And every day we ought to be getting better and better. But the chances are there's some times in which we find some lack. And so today we want to hit our review, but let's go to the Word of God first. I know I may be out of turn, but let's go to the Word of God. I want to turn to our text for today, which is Matthew chapter 12, and we want to look at this parable of Jesus that is coming out of verses 43 to 45. So Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. And when you have reached there, I would like for you to just say amen. Amen. All right, we'll wait for the others of you to get there. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. And you want to keep this open today because this will be our main passage of study for today. And we're going to ask that the Lord will really bring out and enlighten us in regards to this. Because this is, I believe, something that we need to know. So trusting that everybody is about there, I don't hear as many pages turning and I don't see as many people flipping through their phones. The Bible says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds what, everybody? Finds none. Then he says, I will return to whose house? To my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it what? Empty and swept and garnished or put in order. Then he goes and takes with him how many? Seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. One step at a time. One step at a time. If I had to put a tag on this, this would be called house cleaning. House cleaning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are embarking upon a spiritual journey. A journey that's been going on ever since you've created this world. But when we walked into this planet through our mother's womb, you were still chasing after us so that we get to know you. We were born with defects of character. We were born with tendencies towards sin. And as we grew, the devil took more hold on us and tried to make sure that we were messed up. Our love is displaced. Our minds are all over the place. And our worship is not towards you, it's towards something else. But you created this opportunity to learn more about you through the foolishness of preaching, through coming to church, through mingling, and through a book that we call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Now, Jesus, this is your time. You know why we are here. You know what you want to do with your people. We sit with rapt attention. Block out every demon that seeks to create some type of controversy, some type of problem or distraction. May angels come in and fill this place with a holy atmosphere. May your Holy Spirit speak to our minds and to our hearts. And may you give me everything that I need to say and edit things that I don't need to say, so that it will further our development to be more like Jesus Christ. We want to be Jesus Christ clones for you. And so bless us to that end and give us another outpouring of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's precious children say, amen, amen, amen. Let's review where we have been so that you can get caught up. Step number one, as we are paralleling to a degree the steps for Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, first step that we ought to take and we ought to admit is that we were what? Powerless over sin, and that our lives have become what? Unmanageable. And of course, if you don't understand this first step, let me break it down to you. The reason why you are here, and sometimes the reason why you're going through such drama in your life, is because you have decided to do your own thing versus God's thing, and it's taken over you. And so therefore, your life has become unmanageable. Seems like your children are unmanageable. Seems like the attitude is unmanageable. Seems like your financial picture is unmanageable. And God says, until you come to the grips with the fact that your whole life is out of order, then you will never gain victory over your own personal self. But you have to admit that it's, hey, you just throw up your hands, I surrender. And then you understand that your life has just become just messed up because of that. But then secondly, we come to believe that only who? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. I don't feel any power yet. Everybody say Jesus. 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 I don't feel any power yet. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Oh, geez, call on him like you really need him. Say Jesus. 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 All right. And so only the Lord Jesus Christ can restore us to what? Because I tell you week in and week out that we all what? We all are crazy. Now, some of y'all didn't want to admit it, but you're still crazy. Anyhow, all right? And the pastor here is to tell you the truth. And so number three, but then we've also come to make a decision to turn whose will? Our will over, and our what? Our lives over to the care of who? Jesus Christ. If he's the only one that can give us sanity, then we ought to just surrender our lives to him. That's what the first three steps were intended to do, to get you to come to the point, and many of us are Christians, so this is a review, but to get us to come to the point where we are sitting there and sitting down at Jesus' feet and absorbing everything that he has to offer, because we know that there's nobody else that can help us out except him. And so here we go with step number four, and our ushers are passing out the homework. I apologize. I started without you. Passing out the homework for this week, but let's continue to review. So step number four, we are examining now our lives and evaluating ourselves where we are. And so therefore, we had to make a prayerful searching and fearless, what kind of inventory? Moral. Everybody say moral. Moral. All right. Moral inventory of the pastor. Of me. Everybody say me. Of me. I have to work on me. And many times when you come to church, that's what we're trying to do, work on me. And so y'all pray that the Lord gives me a word for you that will be what he wants to have and he wants to communicate, but also be a blessing to you. And then number five, then we come to admit to who? To God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the what? Exact nature of our wrong. Confession is not just some general idea that, hey, I'm sorry, and then you go to the person because it's been 3 days or 3 weeks, and they're like, what are you sorry for? All right, you have to let them know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for distracting you during church. I should have been better able to handle myself. I'm sorry for doing this and that when you were trying to pray, okay? So you want to admit to those individuals. And then number six, I have become entirely ready to have Jesus do what? Remove all these defects of character. And so we went through a list of defects of character that we have in within us that really mess us up. And people don't like us because we're not perfect. Hello, somebody. And so therefore, we asked Jesus, we were ready to have Jesus remove those things. And then once we are ready, now we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Does Jesus remove all of our shortcomings? No, he does not remove all of our shortcomings. You can ask him, Paul said Jesus gave him a thorn in the flesh. And some people say that's an extra shortcoming so that you will not be exalted above measure or think of yourself higher than you ought to think of yourself. And so therefore, only Jesus knows why your defects of character are there. And he definitely has a plan for the reason why he doesn't remove them. Now, some of them he will, but others of them, he says, no, I got to keep that because that's going to save you. You ought to say amen. Thank you, Jesus, for being in control. And then number 8, we make a list of all of the persons I have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. If I stepped on your foot, I'm putting you on my list so that I can make amends, that I'm sorry. I'll buy you some ointment to go over your corns so that you can feel a little bit better, because I'm not just saying I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make amends. And so therefore, when you start looking at your list of people, then we should be going through that list and doing our apologies, making our amends. And so that leads us to step number 9, where we make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And so, brothers and sisters, here we are. And there are some of you that have started. Let me see your hands. Those of you that have started, you started looking at your list and you started going to people that you know you cursed out, that you know you walked over, that you know you've manipulated, that you know you've done something to. Let me see your hands. Did you do your homework? That's sad. How y'all gonna get to heaven? That's the problem. That's a defect of character, procrastination. Procrastination. Have mercy, Lord. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. All right. And as you can see, it's not easy trying to get your life together. Do y'all agree? Have y'all gone to sleep already? Okay. All right. All right. Now, so here we are at step number 10. Let's read this together, and then we're going to get into our preaching segment for today. Step number 10. Step number 10 says, let's read this together. It says, I continue to take personal inventory, and when I am wrong, I promptly, everybody say promptly. I promptly admit it. Don't sit up there and get so full of pride that if you step on somebody's corn and they say, ouch, you keep on walking. Just get it over with. Say, I'm sorry. And is there anything else I can help you do? Because you might have to go and get them a cane and come back because you done messed up their toe. All right. And so therefore, here we are. We're at the point where we need to now go back to step number 4 and continue to take a personal inventory. So let's get down to business. And when we start looking at our time, I was upset. I'm going to tell y'all now, I was upset that the news said that we were going to get some snow and I canceled prayer meeting. We didn't have to go to school. And then I look out and I saw a little bit of snow and the street was still just wet. I said, okay, well, the snow is going to come in just a sec. It's going to come. The news reporter blew it up, said we're supposed to get 5 to 10 inches or 12 inches of snow. And I'm sitting up there ready. And Sister Knox wrote me. She said, Pastor, you might have to put your shovel on hold for another season. I said, no, it's supposed to snow. And it didn't even snow. Amen. And so here we are. And it's like the next day, I looked out my window and I saw the first sign of spring. I saw 2 robins come into my yard. I said, robins come when it's time for spring. And it's interesting that the temperature begins to warm up. People start to feel feelings that have been laying dormant all winter long. You start to see the butterflies start to come. You start to see the flowers begin to bloom. You start to see the trees start finally getting clothed all over again. You even see puppies taking time to smell the flowers because it's springtime. And one thing that when you think about spring, you also have to think that there are some people that also think of spring as a time of cleaning. It's spring cleaning. And back in the day, spring cleaning used to have a whole list of things in which a person was to do. And so therefore, you would take your winter clothes and you stick them away somewhere. You take your summer clothes or your spring clothes and you bring them out. You take your carpets, you get them clean. You take your windows, you get them washed. You have your appliances, you make sure that they're maintained. You take the walls and you wipe them down. You go to your bookshelves and you make sure that they're dusted. You look at your smoke detector and you take that off and you put new batteries in your smoke detector. You look at all the metals in your house and you go and make sure that they're polished. You look at your upholstery furnishings and there you begin to make sure that they're clean. All in the fact because you know that it's what? Spring, and it's time to clean. It's house cleaning. And here Jesus begins to look at a different type of house that needed to be cleaned. Your text talks about a man earlier in that particular chapter of chapter 12 that had come to Jesus. The Bible says that he was blind, he was mute, and he was possessed with an unclean spirit. Jesus invites him in, he ends up healing him, sends the unclean spirit away, and the man is able to stand up to see and to speak all in a matter of seconds. Jesus then is interrupted by the Pharisees over something that is not germane to his subject, but he eventually comes back to his point with the man that has been cleansed of his blindness and his muteness, and that has been clean of his unclean spirit. He ends up talking to the rest and perhaps using the parable to give an example and a warning to this particular man. And so we read the scripture that says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what kind of places? Dry places, seeking what? Seeking rest, and finds what? And finds none. Jesus has had an opportunity to do some house cleaning, yea, some soul cleaning, and we get an opportunity to hear Jesus talk about this particular soul cleaning and what needs to happen. And so first off, understand that there's an unclean spirit that goes out of a man, and I wanted to stop right there. I said, now, why is this unclean spirit going out of a man? The way Jesus is portraying this is as if he just said, hey, I need to go to the store, or hey, let me go check out the unclean spirits out in California, or hey, let me take a vacation and I'm just going to leave my man right here. But when I look at this, I begin to realize that sometimes and many times when a spirit has inhabited a person, the only reason that he is able to leave you and leave you for a time is because he gets what? He gets evicted. Somebody say eviction. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so I like to look at this text and I like to say, well, man, this brother got evicted. He didn't just go up and leave on his own. He got his hips kicked out. And so therefore, here comes Jesus. Jesus has the power in order to kick any type of spirit, any type of demon out of a person. And then when they're kicked out, they're sitting up there and they're feeling all alone. They don't know exactly where to go. They've been inhabiting this particular person for such a long time. And the Bible begins to highlight that he goes to some dry places, he goes to some other places, and at the same time, we don't care about where he goes just as long as his house is clean. Amen, somebody. But then understand, my brothers and my sisters, that he doesn't go for long. He doesn't go for long because the Bible says he gets to the point where he says to himself, what does he say? He says, I will return to whose house? To my house. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that after Jesus has kicked the demon out, this demon gets an idea that, hey, you can't throw me from the place where I've been living for so long. You can't just throw me out with no other place to go. And so here you find this man gets under this particular impression, and he begins to realize that once Jesus kicks out an unclean spirit from a person, understand that that spirit is only gone on a temporary basis. Now, some of you are sitting up there, Pastor, I don't know if I can handle this type of sermon. Well, brothers and sisters, we've been on this cleansing process. We are trying to get clean. We are doing some soul cleansing. And in the process, there are some of us who have been, who God has helped to get clean. We've called on the name of Jesus. We've gotten to the point that we realize that there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. There's no other name under heaven where, when you are battling addictions and temptations and behaviors and thoughts that you can't change, you go to science, they don't have the right formula. You go to Dr. Phil, Dr. Phil can't counsel it out of you. You go to some other places and they just don't know what to do. You've tried other religions and it still leaves you incomplete. You've come to the fact that Jesus is the only one that can change you. And so here you are today because you've been doing some soul cleansing and you've been saying, Jesus, come into my life. Look at this and look at that and look at the other. And Jesus has been saying, I hear you. Are you really ready for me to let this go? Get up out. Are you really ready for me to let this go? Go over there. Are you really ready for me to let this go? Only Jesus. That's why. How many times, let me ask this question. How many times do you say the name of Jesus during the week? If it's at the name of Jesus that demons tremble, and you're sitting there battling these issues and these mental habits within, and you feel tormented, there's only one other place that you can go. And that's to the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's where I have a problem with many of these, help me, Holy Ghost, that's where I have a problem with many of these 12-step programs. The reason why many of them don't work is because, one, is because people don't work the system, but two, they try to tell you that you can just use any old higher power. You can't use any old higher power. There's no other place where you can go. Vashawn Mitchell tried to tell people, I searched all over and couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low and couldn't find nobody. I tried to find somebody greater. I went to this place and that place, this religion and that religion, this thing and that thing. I went to the wise. I went to those that had PhDs, and nobody can help me out because there was nobody greater than Jesus. That's why he comes back and says that Jesus is the greatest man I know. He is the greatest man I know. And brothers and sisters, if you haven't tried Jesus, I'm just going to tell you, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm not ashamed about it. I'm persuaded by this very gospel that there's no other name that can give you freedom from your issues and your addictions except you call on the name of Jesus. That's why it's important to call his name every day. Because what you're battling with has been something that has been brewing for years. I was talking to one person yesterday. And he was sitting up there, and Lord, you're just going to help me work this thing out. And he was sitting up there telling me, he said, Pastor, I've been out in the world for 30 years. I said, you've been doing stuff in the world for 30 years? And then you retire and come to church. Y'all pick that up when you get old. And you think that you're going to take 12 weeks, 11 weeks, versus 30 years, and think that a couple times of preaching is going to just change you instantly. God can do that, but it's going to take some work. So the man was cleaned from the unclean spirit, but it was only temporary. So the man says, he had three things that he did. Let's look at this text. The spirit comes back, begins to peer in the window of this man. He goes to the kitchen. He goes to the bedroom. He goes to the living room. He tries to peek in the window down in the basement. And he begins to look up and step back, and he looks upstairs in the attic. And the Bible says that when he comes, he finds it what? Empty, swept, and put in order. So let's break this down. Understand, number one, I've already told you that if you're going to be free, understand that you can enjoy your certain freedom and enjoy it when you have it, but the spirit that God has removed from you is going to come back eventually. And so then it brings you to understand that you may have some outward changes that begin to take place because you're being cleansed, but moral reform without a Christian commitment always remains what? Inadequate. And so here we are. We see that the spirit comes back, peers into the man's house all over, checks the door. Right now, the door seems locked. And so he sees that the place is what? Is empty. Empty being defined in the, is the Greek word says skalazo. Everybody say skalazo. Skalazo. So it's defined as to be free from labor, unemployed, to be at leisure, to be idle. Now y'all heard that saying that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And here this house wasn't doing anything. It was just laying vacant. But then also he realized that there was nobody in it. It was clean, but nobody was living there. And then number three, understand the definition also includes that it is lacking someone in charge. So Jesus begins to set the stage for the warning for all of us. He says, look, you begin to realize that when I come and I kick out a demon and the changes that are made, you can be clean, but you seem to be clean from both evil and good. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how theology works on that one, but that's just what I'm going to go with, and y'all can talk about me later. But at the same time, one particular Gill's exposition on the Bible puts it this way. He says it was empty of three different things. It was empty of God, of the true knowledge of him, of the fear of him, and of the love of him. It was empty of Jesus Christ, of faith in him, affection for him, and hope on him. And then it was also empty of the Spirit of God, of his graces, and of spiritual internal religion and powerful godliness. It had been emptied. But then it also was what? What's the second one? Did I spell that correctly? It also was swept. So let's look at this. Swept in the Greek is sororo. Everybody say sororo. Sororo, all right? At the same time, here it is, to sweep, to clean by sweeping. If you're in the old, if you were raised in North Carolina and in places of the South, they didn't have brooms like we have it, nice little straw with a little thread in between, and you can just sweep your thing, sweep your room. They had twigs in which they would take, tie them together, put a big stick in the middle, and make sure that it was tight, and then they go sweep. Anybody ever seen those? All right, see, I know some of y'all from the country like me, all right? And so you find that this is what it's talking about, but when you begin looking a little deeper, understand that this particular room had been swept. It'd been swept of everything clean. What does that mean, preacher? Understand that there's no reminder of the previous tenant that had been there. You don't see anything that it liked. You don't see anything that it possessed. You don't see anything. There's nothing to remember them by. The sweeping had cleaned up so many of the messes that the unclean spirit had made in the man's life. The things that seem similar to your life is the fact that Jesus comes into you and he cleans you. He empties out all of the unclean spirit stuff, and now he starts wiping away all of the mess and the junk that the devil had put into your life. And so here you have a broken heart. He sweeps that up and cleans that out. You have some shattered dreams, Jesus sweeps that up and cleans that out. You have damaged reputation, he sweeps that up and cleans that out. You have traits of character that bring about ugliness and unfriendliness, and he sweeps that up and carries that out. You have manipulative traits and unforgiving traits and verbally abusive traits and physically abusive traits. What does Jesus do? Takes the broom and sweeps that out. You have bitterness and jealousy, insecurity, unfaithfulness, power hungry, controlling, cowardly. cowardice, prejudice, intolerance of others. Here comes Jesus sweeping that thing out. And then you have, so that you're at the point where you have no more drug addiction and no more pornography addiction and no more cursing problems and no more immoral problems and no more rebellious nature, because Jesus has taken and swept your place clean. And so here you find that the Spirit comes in and he saw that there was a cleaning, and he's sitting there, how in the world did he do it? But he wasn't through. The Spirit also saw something else. The Spirit saw, and the King James Version says that it was garnished. Pastor, what does garnish mean? It is put in order. What does that mean? Well, that means that it used the Greek word kosmeo, and is broken down to mean to put into order, to arrange, to make ready, to prepare. So here comes this Spirit, and the Spirit begins to look, and he sees that when he left you all messed up, you had to foot the bill. You had to get somebody to come and clean up the mess. Your space was messed up, and his name was all over the place. Jesus comes in and cleans it all out, and now gives you such freedom that you can choose whatever you want to do to put into your home. Wow. And so you're now able to decorate it however you like it. Wow. You can cover up the tattoos with some makeup, because Jesus starts to clean it. And then you're able to decorate. Some people put on extra jewelry. Some people put on extra clothes. Some people change their speech to become more Christian. Some people change their habits to become more like a Christian supposed to act, more like a Christian supposed to pray, more like a Christian is supposed to do. And it also changes perhaps your eating habits. When you go in, your refrigerator is now not smelling like fish and not smelling like turkey and chicken. And for some that haven't gotten there, some pork, you start to see that it's vegetarian food, fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. I love fresh fruit. And you begin to see that they've made all of the arrangements to make it look inviting and look nice. The only problem is that when you begin to notice, you see that it's just like many of us. We have made some outward reformations, but we have not turned over our apartment or our home to new management. That's why the power of Jesus Christ comes back and says today, you can look good in your suit and in your dress. I don't care about all of that. Because when you sit down before Jesus and you seek to understand his word, Jesus starts to take his word, and which is like a two-edged sword, and he cuts down deep. That's why some people can't sit under certain sermons, because Jesus is trying to work out. He's trying to get past the facade. He's trying to get past all of the garnishments. He's trying to get down at the deep end, and he says, do you have under new management sign posted in your window? You're clean. The demon is gone. You're feeling pretty good about yourself, because I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other and I'm pretty good now. But the question is, did you do just an outside reformation? And Jesus is still standing on the outside with the demon? And so Jesus is here talking. Jesus is here talking to the rest of the multitudes. And they're sitting there listening. And it's almost as if Jesus begins to talk to the man that had been clean. And without saying it, he says, this is a warning to you. Because I set you free. And I cleaned you up. And I made you to be a better person than you used to be, especially under the influence of this unclean spirit. But if I'm not in your heart, then this is what's going to happen to you. And so the challenge comes that a clean house without tenants will result in what? And there was a story told about a couple who had somebody living with them. And they were trying to get this person to act right and to do right. And this person didn't want to. Throw his clothes all everywhere. Can you clean that up? You didn't ask him to clean up his stuff when he had his underwear sitting in the bathroom. They ended up paying the rent, just paying half of it because their name was on it. And he was supposed to pay the other rent. Did you pay the rent? Nah, I'm still looking for a job. I don't have any money. And so they ended up paying the man's rent. And eventually it got to the point where they were like, what are we supposed to do? He won't go anywhere. He won't pay. He won't clean up. Every time we talk to them, we have some issues. And brother said, you got a squatter in your house. And you're trying with your own power to get him out. And it's just not working. You're going to have to try something stronger. And yet, my brothers and my sisters, if you have a clean house, but you don't have any tenants living in it, then understand you're going to get squatters. And the way Jesus puts it, those squatters that come in, you just had to deal with one before he cleaned you. Now that you've been free from smoking and drinking and cursing and pornography and all these other things, now Jesus says, this is what you need to do. You need to stay clean. You need to make sure that I'm on the inside of your heart and not on the outside of your home. You need to make sure that when you start to put me on, that you make sure that I will leave no room for anybody else to come in because somebody is occupying this territory. And Jesus and the devil will never occupy the same space. That's why you have to make a decision. Will it be Jesus in your heart, or will it be the thing that you cherish so much in your heart? Do you want the women, or do you want Jesus? Do you want TV and movies, or do you want Jesus? Do you want your job, or do you want Jesus? Do you want the money, or do you want Jesus? Jesus says, I cannot coexist with the spirit that is not like me. And so he begins to warn them. He says, the spirit comes back, sees that it's empty, is swept, and is decorated, looking pretty good. The spirit has nowhere else to go. And there's one other thing that I didn't even list here, but I'm going to list it right now because the spirit just has me somewhere else. It is insecure. Notice what your Bible says. Let's go back to that text. Notice what your Bible says. Verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. There was no alarm that went off. There was no locks on the windows or the doors. So much so that if you just read it like this, they entered and dwelt there. So help me, Holy Ghost, to understand this thing. So you mean to tell me that I can have my house together, I can stop doing certain things, but they can still enter in? He says, yes. Well, how is that possible? He says, because people get so cocky with themselves that they start to leave me once I've cleaned them up. And so the Bible no longer becomes relevant. And so when you, help me, Holy Ghost. And so when you start to read the Bible starts to say, intruder, intruder, there's some things that are coming in your home that don't belong. And therefore you put the Bible up and you go in the power of Jesus and you begin to say, look, it's time for you to go. You don't belong here, but there are people that would rather go with the things of their heart. And so they say, well, no, I just think and I just follow my heart and it's not the Bible. And God says, I clean them up, I warn them. And then when I start to try to tell them, they have no Bible that's regulating the truth versus error, and so demons come back and they bring a house party and they get drunk and they don't leave. So here's the warning. When you begin to look at how Jesus works and operates in your life, step number 10 comes back, and step number 10 tells us you must continue to take a personal inventory to make sure that when you walk around in your home, you begin to see, oh, my window, watch this mic here.
My window needs to be locked. I think I left that open. And then you start to go over here and you start to say, okay, well, this needs to be locked. I think I left that open the last time. And you begin to make sure that your alarm is set, that everything is in order, and you have to do that on a constant basis. You're going out into the world. You keep coming back into your home. You go out into the world. You keep coming back into your home. And every time you go out and come back, you want to make sure that you don't bring other spirits with you. When you go out into your job and at your school, you want to make sure that you don't bring those same nasty evil spirits that you've been talking to your friends, you've been talking to your coworkers, and they just kind of follow you on in your house. And so when they do, then you have to go back to the word and you begin to say, Lord, I need to take a personal inventory. Have I started to harbor some bitterness now in my heart? Am I starting to like and appreciate the cursing that I see on TV? Am I making sure that I'm less selfish today than I was yesterday? Amen. Am I manipulating situations so that people would work things out in my favor instead of me trying to help them out? You have to take a personal inventory and not just go through and say, okay, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. No, this is something that keeps on going over and over and over again. It's interesting to me how many seniors I hear that it's like, you think that you've gotten to a certain age and you put your time in. You got baptized back in 1962. And here it is, 2013, and the devil's still trying to come in. And you still gotta say, get up out. And then when he doesn't wanna get up out, you gotta get to the point where you say, Jesus, I tried all I can, and this joker ain't leaving. I ain't got no power. Every time he comes in, he kicks his feet up. He thinks that he's the bomb diggity. And he thinks that he's running things. And there are times in which, because I'm so weak, I go and I do just what he says. I have relapses. And so here we come, and Jesus, you go before Jesus and you say, look, Jesus, I done relapsed again and it's messing me up. My resistance is low. This joker is in my house. My heart is not towards you. And you're the only person. I'm crazy right now. And you're the only person that can kick him out. And Jesus takes that prayer of yours and he says, all right, show me where he is. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, because you're going to have to sit there and you're going to have to sit there and you're going to have to take Jesus to those places where you know that person resides. So this is what these steps were all about. They were to get us to the point where we now become comfortable letting Jesus know the very details of our wicked craziness. That he begins to see, yes, I got some sexual issues that I don't want you to go into that closet, Jesus. And so therefore, you have to come to grips with, do you want Jesus to go in there and check that calendar, check out those bones in there or not? And that's why he comes and he says, I'm not going to just march in and do it for you. You will have to go to the door admitting that you got some stuff hidden. Open up the door. And then Jesus can say, all right, demon number one, demon number two, y'all get up out of here. And then he's going to have to look in there, because you got some other demons that just don't come out easily. Now, I know I'm preaching here and y'all are sitting up there, pastor, y'all talking, y'all pastor, I don't have any spirits up in my house. You know, I'm not possessed. You know, they don't reside up in me. Brothers and sisters, you need to get over that. That's why we are here. Because our very nature says, the demons are calling me, let me go. The spirits are calling me, let me go. And then whatever they say, however they say it, we start to jump. And Jesus has to come back and he has to say, nuh-uh, I'm the creator here. You need to understand me. And then you sit up there and I sit up there and saying, well, Jesus, if you're so powerful, what can you do? And Jesus says, all right, let me put on your flesh. Let me come down and live your life. But you don't understand what I'm going through. My mom gave me up at an early age. My dad did so and so. Well, you try growing up with Jesus' house. Try growing up where everybody's up there thinking that mom and dad got together and he's a bastard child. They weren't married before. And he's going around telling everybody, and well, this is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary and poof, out came Jesus. You go around trying to do everything that Jesus, that God's father asked him to, that Jesus' real father asked him to do, and watch people look at you crazy. Why are you going to help out this fool over here? He just talked about you. He just spit on you. And here you are trying to give him some food and trying to give him some clothes. What kind of mess is that? And here, Jesus, look at you over here trying to help our sister so-and-so. You know she old, she crazy. She don't need nobody help. Oh, Jesus, come on. Here you go again. You're trying to look at the little dog. Just kick the dog out the way so we can go play. But no, you want to try to mend the dog, and you want to try to talk to the dog. Jesus, are you the dog whisperer? Oh, Jesus. You see that girl over there?
Watch out.
Jesus. You don't see what I see, Jesus. Come on. Jesus, I mean, come on. Come on. We both 16. We both 17. Come on, Jesus. You don't see that right there. Jesus, come on. Turn your eye. Jesus, come on, man. Look. And Jesus grows up under temptations you and I will never understand. And he did not sin, not one time, not even with one thought. And so here Jesus is. He said, oh, you want to see how much power I have? Watch me do this. And then Judas betrays him. And Peter is right there. He said, I got some power. Here's my sword. Swap. Hits the man's ear off. Cuts the soldier's ear off. Jesus sits up there, picks the ear up. Here you go. Put that back on there. What kind of mess is that? They come in rough handling you, and you're going to put the man's ear back on? Okay, Peter, you got the big sword. Where are you now? And all the rest of the disciples leave him. Jesus says, you want to see how much power I have? Let me show you this. And while the Roman soldiers beat him and kicked him and spat upon him and mocked him, he sat up there with the dignity of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of you don't realize who you are. You don't understand that when you have accepted Jesus into your life, he gives you the power to become sons and daughters of God. And there are demons that every time you go to work and every time you go to school and even when you go home, they're sitting up there trying to say, are you really a child of God? You ain't no child of God. Come on and do this. Come on and say this. And then sometimes it pulls us out of character.
Amen.
Hold your head up.
Amen.
Stick your chest out. And look at Jesus as he is being tortured and abused, and yet he stands there knowing full well who he is. And he does not have to stoop down to the level of these demons mixed with humans. He says, you want to see my power? Watch this. And they nailed his hands, and they nailed his feet. Couldn't do anything. And even while he's dying on the cross, here they are, one on one side, one on the other, both yeah. And the reason why one thief decides that, hey, something's different about this man is because Jesus, with the dignity of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sits up there and has nothing to say to them. And it changes the mindset of a thief to where he's sitting up there. He said, I need to make a personal amends to you, Jesus. I need to confess to you the exact nature of my sins. And he ends up taking Jesus and says, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And Jesus hears his prayer. The last sinner that's converted before he passes away. And he says, today I say unto you, you will be with me in paradise. And he gives up the ghost. They take him off the cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. And then what's Jesus saying? He says, you want to see my power? He says, watch this. Count it. Day one. Come on. Count it. Day two. Come on. Day three. And here comes Jesus up out of the grave. He says, you think I got power? These demons tried to hold me down. The same ones that are trying to hold you down, but they couldn't do it because I'm the creator. I'm the greatest of all times. And if you just allow me, I will take care of each and every demon and unclean spirit that tries to hold you down and press you down and try to say that you're not changed. You're the same as you've always been. But you keep claiming me and you keep believing in the power of the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, when I wipe your sins clean, the devil has nothing else to say. You have to believe that. Because you're not the same like you used to be. You came in here in January and you said, well, this is just going to be another sermon series. You know, we're just going to church. And Jesus says, no, because I'm seeing the clock tick tock. And Jesus is in the most holy place and he's watching that, hey, I don't have much time. And he says, I gotta ramp up this thing. He says, Dwayne, we need to talk because my people need to get themselves together. They think that they can just skate through life, come back and forth to church and everything is gonna be okay. They don't realize, help me, Holy Ghost. They don't realize that there's gonna come a time real soon where I'm going to finally take off my intercessory robe. And at that particular time, the Bible says that there's going to come a time of trouble that you and I have never seen before. What does that mean? Ellen White gives us extra clarity. Ellen White begins to say that at that particular time, when Jesus pulls off his robe and he steps out of the most holy place, that that is a time that the devil and all his demons now are given full reign. Y'all didn't hear me. Now are given full reign. What does that mean? That means that everybody that has decided that no, I don't think Jesus is for me, and no, I think I want to do this, and y'all can't hold me down, I do whatever I want to do, all of those now will become infested and inhabited with demons, and they cannot resist what they want to do, and they do whatever they desire those demons to do. And she goes on to say that we will live in a society where people will be coming to you and coming to me. Do you have a word from the Lord? Do you have a word from the Lord? Do you have a word from the Lord? And they will be looking for a word from the Lord. And because you have changed by the power of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to give them because they squandered their time of probation. And so, so here we are at the brink of Jesus coming. And he says, this year, we have to be more intense. Don't sit up there and look at the homework and just let it fall on the ground as if the pastor just did it from his own volition. Understand that everything we're trying to do from here on out, Jesus is trying to make us ready. And it doesn't matter what your issue is, that's why we're here. My name is Dwayne Prevett, and I am the chief of sinners. And here we are trying to get our act together. So what is our time? What is our theme? Our step is time to tell your unclean spirits they got to go. They got to go. It's time to go. And my brothers and my sisters, this starts now. You can't sit up here and allow those issues and those character flaws and traits to continue. Even if you're not ready to get all of them out now, today ask Jesus to take one. Take one out. Okay, which one is it? Look, Lord, I'm abusive. I'm razor-like. I'll cut you. Okay, can we start right there? All right, let's start right there. Well, Jesus, every time I get on Facebook, I got to blast somebody. I got to tell it like it is. I'm just a gossiper. Well, then, let's start right there. Well, Jesus, my wife doesn't treat me right, and my husband doesn't treat me right either. And I'm just not going to show any love and kindness. Oh, that's where you are? Come as you are. Your head's bowed. Don't ask me what was on the rest of that sheet. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit is taking over here. And you are sitting in the place where when you leave here, you got some work to do. I have work to do. A couple weeks ago, we talked about, well, Pastor, you got an issue with sweets. Yeah, I love chocolate chip cookies. They don't last long in my house. And here I am a couple weeks later. I said, Lord, I got to get it together. I went home. I don't know if I'm ready to get it together. And the reality is that you may be in the same position as me. You make decisions at church, but when you get home, you don't follow through. Your head's bowed. Your eyes are closed. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to give up? Now, before the music starts, understand this. You will not be able to last long if all you do is give up things and say, you don't do this and you don't do that. You have to replace those habits, those desires, those attitudes with something more glorious and Christ-like. The one thing that I can't stand about Adventists, y'all excuse me, that's on the record. However, the one thing I can't stand is that we say we don't do this and we don't do that, but we have nothing else in store. So our young people grow up, and because we're so restrictive and we don't think perhaps sometimes outside the box to find some other pleasurable things that would be of benefit, then they grow up and say that the world has more to offer than the church does. And I dare say that with all that God gives us, with all that is available to us, there's no way that we should be able to sit up there and say, hey, this stuff is boring. Do you know what it's like to minister to people and watch them smile because God just used you to give a special word to them? Do you know what it's like to watch some of the seniors in the nursing home sit up there and look at you, and because you're a young person, they're like, I'm glad you came here today. Because I had nobody else to visit me, but you showed up. Do you know what it's like to make your life the type of life that's always about stuff? Because when you always are about God's business, when the devil comes back to try to tempt you and to try to enter into your home, he has nothing that he can do with you. Because you're too busy moving around, he can't catch you. But when you don't do this and you don't do that, you live the life of leisure activity and thereby make yourself an easy target. So this song is about to be sung. Talk to the Lord about those things in your house. Act like your house is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Act like within you only the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, and God is to dwell. And help Jesus, when you invite him in, to go into those deep, dark recesses of your house and tell him, Jesus, you got to kick these folks out because I can't do it under my own power. Listen to this song.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and you've earnestly, fervently
Christ. Now, I could tell you that I'm listening to one preacher, and he was talking about at his church, he went to minister on last Sabbath or the Sabbath before last, and he ended up, you know, ministering to his congregants. And there, it wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist church, but there, after he finished, he ends up getting the word that one of his ushers had passed away. He didn't think that that person was going to pass away, but they did. And we take each day for granted sometimes. And we take these times of decision-making for granted. People have been praying for you. They have been investing time, and they have been talking to God about you. And today God said, I brought you here, and I scratched up Pastor Prevett's message so that I could minister to your heart. And now I need you to begin walking towards that door and let me in. The Bible says, behold, Jesus stands at the door and knock. He's not going to force his way in, although he knows that you don't have this type of security to keep him out. But you have to invite him in. So if you want Jesus to come into your heart, doesn't matter whether you're baptized, doesn't matter whether you're part of the Adventist church, some other church, but you want Jesus to come in again today, why don't you take your stand right here? Stand up and just say, Jesus, I need you to come into my heart. There's some things that we got to work out. There's some closets, there's some rooms that I know that you need access to. And so I'm willing to make myself available to your inspection. You're just standing, asking Jesus to
to come into your heart afresh. I know that you've done this a long time ago, but today is a different day. Jesus, look at your people, those that have dared to stand. And I pray that you would hear and answer our feeble prayers, because you did something today. You made it visible that there are times in which we are arrested by unclean spirits. They don't belong in our lives. They don't belong controlling our minds. We're Christians. We come up to church every week. But Jesus, sometimes we might be clean, but you're not in charge. And so we're opening up our doors, the doors of our hearts to you. And we're asking that you would come in and to clean us out again. Maybe there's somebody else here that you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. And now that you've done it right here, you're standing, you need a place that you can rest and learn how to tweak your security system against evil. The church is where we do that. So I'm going to ask that if you want to join this church so we can help you tweak your security system, slide out of the aisles, come on down to the front. You're saying, Pastor, my house is unsecure, and I need you. Come on down. I need you to come and tweak my house. I need to know more of your word. I need to know more promises and more scriptures. I need to know more of Jesus Christ and your blood. Come on down. Come on down. There's somebody else here today. This is your opportunity. You're saying, I've been floating from church to church, but today I need to go ahead and settle down. And Jesus says, what you waiting on? This church may not be perfect. We got flaws just like anybody else's church. But if you're going to be here, Jesus says, I'll work with you to work with us. Help make this church a better church. Slide out of the aisles. Come on down to the front. Is there one more that will give Jesus full access to your heart? Come on down. Come on down. Jesus wants full access. It's about that time. It's about that time. Come on. Let's spell you. Come on. Join the person's hands beside you. Join the hands. Let's make this one big family here. Folks are making their decisions for Jesus Christ.
With eyes laid, your heart does the Spirit control.
Give you another time. Let's go.
You can know.
Don't let this moment pass. Thank you for the decisions that those that are standing up here in front have made to give you full access to their heart. They're asking, Lord, to help them to tweak their security system. Some, this may be a beginner stage. Others are in an intermediate stage. Others have been in it for a while and still need some retweaking and retooling. But Jesus, you said that whatever the stage is, you will not despise anyone that comes to you with a sincere heart.
So I pray, Lord, that you will forgive them for their sins, that you would cleanse them from all unrighteousness, that the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross would cover them, make them clean as white as snow. Whatever their reputation is, whatever the issues have been, Lord, as you have said in Ezekiel, that if a man and woman repent, whatever they have done will no longer be remembered, and they can walk in a new reputation. So Jesus, today, do that for those that are here. And bless them, keep them. And for all of us, when the devil comes back, because he's been kicked out today, when he comes back looking for access, help us to keep the door closed. Help us to call on the name of Jesus, who we've let into our house today. And I pray, dear Jesus, keep us busy so that the devil has no time to tempt us and to bring us down. Busy doing kingdom business. We thank you for this privilege to pray to you. Now we leave in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say.